Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I shall also be hearing from staff and students and visitors to campus about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. I'm pleased to have with me in the studio today Dr. Philip Bonanno. Dr. Bonanno received a BEd honours degree and an MPhil from the University of Malta. Then he went on to read for his PhD at Joensuu in Finland. He's now a lecturer here at the university in the Department of Mathematics, Science and Technology in Education within the Faculty of Education. His doctorate was entitled Learning Through Collaborative Gaming, a Process-Oriented Pedagogy, which I hope that we'll have a chance to talk about. His research interests are wide-ranging. He's obviously interested in technology-enhanced learning, instructional psychology and pedagogy, game-based learning, mobile learning, technology-intensive creativity support systems, individual differences in learning, and cognitive neuroscience. He's coordinated several projects. One was a UNESCO-sponsored project, development program in flexible learning for adult learners, a Grundvig program promoting audio-visual education. That was a training the trainers. And he's also a member of other project teams. He was involved in ETT Campus, CrossLife, and currently he's involved in a project entitled Bridge It, which has the aim of integrating intercultural diversity in Europe through the use of IT. Welcome, Dr. Bonanno.
Thank you, Patricia, for inviting me for this program.
I think that perhaps we'd better start off with a general little overview of what one really means by the expression sort of technology-enhanced learning.
Okay. There is a history about that term because this is the term that is currently most used in this field of learning through technology. Way back we used to speak of e-learning and ICT and all that. The emphasis there was on how you learn applications, how you use technology for delivering programs and teaching learning activities. Lately, we are more focusing on how we move away from technology and focus on how technology has transformed the learning process. So, in fact, many times in research, you come across technology-transformed learning. What is this? So, we are speaking of how human learning, how different human beings, different learners, use technology to promote different learning processes, how we can have different scenarios of learning. One of them is obviously the classroom situation, the formal situation, but technology promotes different, what we call pedagogical learning scenarios, and therefore we should be sort of on the lookout and investigate what these contexts offer to learners, how we can exploit these, because today the people, the younger generation today, they are very much equipped with technological skills. We know that they are very proficient in using it in every aspect of their life, anything in relationships, in getting information, in collaborating with each other. But what about learning? It's sort of our big challenge, how we promote even learning, teaching and learning through technology. So we speak of having classroom situations that are enhanced by technology, and we speak of having different new scenarios based on technology that can promote learning. We always emphasize that we should create a coherent learning experience. We do not locate the learning experience to the classroom or at home, but let's create a coherence. It may start in class and then continue home, or it can start home and continue in class. So it is a dynamic, an interactive, a continuous learning experience. So this is our idea. We do not try to distinguish between places or phases in the educational process, because we have to create one coherent learning experience through technology and through also traditional means. I work a lot in this technology enhanced learning area. That does not mean that there are no other forms. So this is why I am saying that we should create a coherent learning experience. It's technology-based, it's technology-mediated, but also integrated with other learning situations in life, real-life situations, okay, classroom situation. So that is my meaning, wider meaning of
your take on it. Going back for a moment to your doctorate, I know that I know that you got your doctorate summa cum laude, so it must have had some very interesting bits to it. But learning through collaborative gaming, a process-oriented pedagogy. What exactly were you looking for there? Why was it so interesting at the end of the day?
Yes, first of all, initial motivation was I would like to explore what an autonomous learning situation, that is a self-directed learning situation. And research has repeatedly shown that games, digital games, are promoting autonomous learning. Kids, when they play games, because actually they tend to be banned by their parents and they are not looked very nice with their teachers, from their teachers, so they are actually a little bit, not given that importance in the educational process. So they have to rely on their own resources if they want to learn how to play a game or how to manage the gaming situation. And that has shown that it promotes a lot of autonomous learning. In fact, we have Eurodice series reports, reports all over Europe in the educational sector, telling us that because boys play more games, they have much more refined skills in the use of technology. They are much more confident in that. So my initial interest in my PhD was how can we promote autonomous learning through gaming? And obviously, that meant that I have to go not in the structure of games, but in the processes that there are in learning. Now, you know that there has been a tradition of different epistemologies of learning, constructivist, constructionist, that you learn by doing and by designing. And so I had to look at the collaborative, because constructivist, it's learning with others, these processes that are promoted in this context of collaborative gaming. So I developed a model, a pedagogical model, which is based on these processes and how we can follow interactions in a collaborative learning activity as the basic element by which you analyze and you can design and you can evaluate an in technology-mediated learning situation. So I was, after developing this model, what are the interactions? Actually, I was also driven by the motivation that if you would like to have technology-enhanced learning, how can you manage that through technology? And therefore, you need technological systems, and in Johannes, where I worked in Finland, apart from a number of PhD students working on games, we had other sections developing what we call pedagogical agents. That is, you have learning systems that can monitor what learners are doing, and then they react to that. Like when you go on Amazon and you start searching for books, and you start having the Amazon website suggesting what other people did. That is following your interactions. And so we were this group was working on that. And therefore, I wanted to develop a model that if you have a collaborative gaming situation, you record, the system can record the interactions, and then it can be fed to a pedagogical agent so that the gaming situation can become autonomous. That is, it is adaptive, and it can promote, help the learner or the learners collaboratively, how they can move on in that learning situation. So there is this sort of adaptivity and this interaction-based situation.
When you are lecturing at the university, in a way, you're there's a sort of a dichotomy, but not a division, between you're actually lecturing to your students on your particular subject, but then through what you're saying, you are actually then imparting or encouraging them to then go out to be teachers in a certain way. Within the faculty, how do you implement this idea of technology-enhanced learning, firstly in your own teaching?
Yes, I mean, first of all, I coordinate the program in technology and learning. We call it Program in Educational Technology Design and Innovation, and I also coordinate a center for educational technology research and innovation. So, and obviously, the program, let's speak of the program, it is made of a number of modules, and these modules are targeting different learning processes. So, when I'm obviously, I have a large number of tutors involved in this. And during our sessions, what is important is that we always point to the processes behind what we are teaching. For example, we have a module, we have a particular situation about interactive board. My emphasis is, what do we mean by interactivity? It's not the technology. How is this creating interactive learning experiences? We teach about images, image capturing and image editing and video. We are not only after developing skills in using the applications, photo editing and video editing. That is part of a bigger process. Let's develop good documentaries, what we call media processes. What does it mean to develop an idea, express it, write it down, write the narrative, okay, and then you have to design and develop the media, you have to edit the media, and at the end you have to develop a product. So I emphasize a lot learning by designing, because this is captures In all the modules that we have. Obviously, we have different modules, even in web design. Web design today went away from teaching applications and designing a website, but we are saying in today's dynamic websites as we have, what processes should we be promoting? What are the principles behind this? So whatever the situation is, we are asking, what are the processes here? For example, if we teach presentation, PowerPoint, and we do not go for the application, whether it's PowerPoint or something else. It's the processes of designing a good presentation and delivering it. Again, we have a number of tools. For example, we train them how to use a virtual learning environment, a VLE. We have Moodle at university. But it is important that we do not teach Moodle itself, but we develop skills in using virtual learning. What is the process behind? What is behind the process behind organizing a course in Moodle? And for that, in any other learning management system, it can be Blackboard, it can be in the future, coming next year, academic year, the government will be introducing the e-learning solution, the e-learning platform. So it is important that we move away from the application thing and we focus on the processes, because the applications are going to change all the time. Okay, I mean, an interactive world. We have one brand, but you go in school and you find different brands. So it's not the tool itself that we should emphasize, but the learning process behind that. And obviously, in fact, even we, at faculty, this is the undergraduate, the program for students and for PGC students, but we also developed the diploma, postgraduate diploma in technology enhanced learning that is going to be launched next October. Okay, we base this not on teaching the applications for this, for it, no. We divided it, learning through teaching, and therefore that is the classroom situation, learning through gaming, and that is the autonomous learning situation based on natural learning processes, learning by designing, and tools coming in these learning processes. For example, learning by collaboration, and there you have all the collaboration tools, the Moodle environment, the wikis, the blogs, the fora, and then the tools that are used, document sharing, that are used. Learning by reflection, the use of tools to reflect on reflect in action and reflect on action, and therefore how you promote yourself, and there are a number. So tools fit in the process of investigating, finding out how we learn in this way. So it's not courses. We moved away. That is a bygone era that we teach for applications. Obviously, many moments we have to teach how to use applications, but the main focus is not the application itself, but the learning process is mediated by that.
Also, there is this challenge, possibly, for this kind of technology-enhanced learning with regards to evaluating results. If you have a lecturer, for example, who says, well, I do try to use whatever, PPT mm-hmm. or whatever, but in actual fact, at the end of the day, I find that my chalk and blackboard efforts are, I find it easier to evaluate at the end of the day whether the student has actually caught on to the subject or not. I would imagine that there is a bit of a challenge there with regard to evaluation, perhaps, at the end of the day, or not.
Yes, because obviously this is basic, I mean, design, learning design. What you want to evaluate at the end is going to determine the what that you are going to teach and the how that you are going to teach. So if you have a situation where the lecturer is after assessing a chunk of content, then what is important is delivering as much as possible all that content, and then assessing it, assess the acquisition of that content. This, in technology enhanced learning, we are challenging, what do we mean by learning today? I mean, and we always speak of, our parting point is epistemology. What do we mean by learning? In fact, even the course at the faculty, the first module is what do we mean by learning education in a knowledge society? Because this is going to, and one the basic thing that we first discussed is we moved on from learning as acquisition to learning including three aspects: acquisition, because you have to acquire skills and knowledge, but learning as a form of participation, and learning as a form of contribution. Now, if you have a lecturer that is basing solely that he wants students to learn acquisition of knowledge and content, then he's going to adopt a particular approach. And probably the most efficient one is lecturing, and which is nothing but a reproductive model, that you have the information, you get the conduit metaphor, you know, that we use, that what is in the brain of the lecturer is transmitted into the brain. And even that metaphor we do not use anymore today. Today, believe it or not, we use the internet metaphor of the brain, of learning. Learning as establishing, as a process of establishing, not acquiring, even the acquisition. If you are learning a subject, you are learning different modes of interaction within that particular subject. So what we mean by learning today is we use the internet metaphor, that you are all the time establishing links and interactions with the subject content, with the technology, and with the community of people, your own community, and with the community of experts. So if we define knowledgeability today, how much a person knows, this is defined not because he has read and has got in his mind so much books in his mind. That is a very restricted view of learning. What we mean by learning today is that a person is knowledgeable, and you can the evaluation of that, as you mentioned, is going to be how much interactions, how much extended is his level of interactions with the domain, how much extensive are his networks in that particular area, what is his role. Is he a novice person coming into the area, and so he is always on the acquisition side, or he is an active participant or an active contributor? So what I have in mind as learning, and this is something that I really sort of discuss and elaborate with my students, because I tell them, what type of image, what type of model you have for your teacher in mind, this is going to drive you in life. And what I tell you is I do not want to have teachers graduating with the model that they have acquired, because many times what, even your question of having a lecture, this is sort of, we teach how we learned, and there is this propagation of the same thing going on again. And I challenge my students, tell them, look, you have to do something different. That is the challenge for you. That's what you have seen and what you are experiencing all the time at university, that is the didactical model. You have to move away from that, and that is a big challenge, because that is uncharted territory.
Painful to move away from what you're used to.
It is difficult.
The other sort of buzzword that we hear a lot, perhaps we could discuss a little bit in the few minutes that we have left, lifelong learning. Hmm. We hear a lot about it, but what exactly do we mean today, now, in 2011, by lifelong learning?
Yes, lifelong learning is a process, and this report states that schools should be oriented just to teach lifelong learning skills. What do we mean by that? Some other people say, researchers and educational commentators say, we speak of 21st century skills. And what are these 21st century skills that our education system should be imparting, should be focused on developing? It is a problem that we keep our education system focused on content and exams and all that, because we should be teaching, we should be training people in this 21st century. What are these? Number one, autonomous learning. This is recommended by a whole range of reports coming from EU projects and surveys all over Europe, that we should promote or elaborate on that already exists, autonomous learning. Okay? Number two, the use of learning through technologies, therefore proficiency in using a wide range of technological tools to mediate the different aspects of learning, as I have explained. Again, research, design, and innovation, the ability to identify problems, research them, and develop solutions. And most of this has to be done through technology. A report published last December about creativity and innovation in Europe states that we really give peripheral importance to creative innovation. I tell to my students, sometimes it's unfair for our students that they come at university, they pass through an education process of 18 years, being all the time lecturing and learning, and they had never been given the chance to promote their creativity and skill. And then we expect them to switch on to creativity, innovation, and research all of a sudden. So And another thing is, 21st century skills is team skills, collaboration skills, how you can manage technology-mediated projects, for example. We are experiencing so many projects, European projects, even jobs are based on multinational teams that they have to collaborate with. So team skills, how you collaborate, how you monitor, how you manage, how you evaluate group activity, networking. So this, I hope that we do not go on the negative side of social networking, you know. We should be developing networks of learners. And so a sense of connectedness, that you feel connected to information, to experts, to your colleagues, to any institutions offering a particular service or training. So this should be in any stage, whether it is in the pre-primary or primary, secondary or adult phase in learning, this should be the focus. How we are going to promote these skills.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Bonanno, for coming to talk to us. I know we could go on for much longer because it's such a fascinating subject.
Yes.
And thank you for being on University Matters today.
Thank you very much, Patricia.
Thank you for listening to today's program. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series, University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.